Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And they got a win on Wednesday night, actually Wednesday afternoon, as Clayton Kershaw played the role of stopper and throws 7 shutout innings, scattering 4 hits and striking out 8. And once again, Dave Roberts calling Clayton their ace. And he pitched as well as Domingo Germán, not that much better than Jacob deGrom, except Jacob ends up with just 1 run allowed and no runs in support, which very often is the case when he is on the mound. And so there are a lot of pretty impressive pitching performances on Wednesday, but it's only one part of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Coming up inside of 15 minutes, MLB insider John Heyman. It's a cool steal to be able to get a few minutes with him on the show. Tough to finagle because our schedules don't often jive, but we're excited about John Heyman joining us. And in the meantime, we're asking you, which team has made the greatest upgrade at quarterback this offseason? So we're going to look at the teams here, kind of go through the standings from last year and talk about where things are different and where things might be different coming up this fall. But I actually found this little blurb about some recent health news that I thought I would share with you because it appealed to me. It was pretty cool. Some of it's information. Some of it, I think, can be encouraging. And so I ripped it out of the magazine and I brought it in rather than try to remember this on my own, you know, me and my spaghetti plate brain. So here's one thing that I would love to pass on to you. I'm a big reader, and every morning, if I can keep my eyes open, sometimes even when I can't keep my eyes open, I end up falling asleep on my book. I read for pleasure. I read fiction generally. Every now and then I might be reading a nonfiction book, but it's always something that has nothing to do with work, nothing to do with sports. I do have books I'm reading for the job. I do have articles or various other reading material that I have to keep up with for work and in the sports world. But in the mornings, when I get in bed, I try to read for 15, 20 minutes. And so I saw this from the Journal of College Teaching and Learning. Now, it's specifically for grad students because they have high stress levels, but I think it applies to any of us. A recent study found that 30 minutes of reading for pleasure lowered the students' stress levels. And that's how I feel every morning when I read a book, fiction. So I just recently finished reading Jack Carr's The Terminal List. Now, it was suspenseful. It's a thriller. So there are times when I could feel my mind working overtime and processing. But because it's nothing to do with work, it allows me to relax and definitely lowers my stress level. It just is kind of a reminder that work's not the only thing happening in my life, that I can get away from it when I need to. And so this recent study found that 30 minutes of reading for pleasure had a palpable impact on the stress levels of grad students. So I think it can work for all of us. How about if you're looking for an exercise to help you cut fat? 20 minutes of daily cycling for 8 weeks can reduce body fat and improve your cardio fitness, of course. Now, I have a bike, but I don't bike when it's frigid, and I definitely don't bike when there's snow on the ground. So a few years ago, a neighbor who was leaving the area, she had this old mechanical stationary bike. It's a recumbent bike, meaning you sit and your legs are out in front of you. So you bend at the waist as opposed to being upright on the bike. It's a stationary bike that's run by batteries. I kid you not, laugh at me if you must, but it was free. And because it runs on batteries and it's not a Peloton, it's not digital, it requires a lot of extra work. I get on that puppy. I have a DVD player and a TV next to me so I can watch Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I can watch Friends. I can watch The Crown, which is my latest show that I'm binging. And the hour goes by like that. And it has programs where you do hills. Producer Dave, do you like to bike?
Not a big cyclist here. I'd rather run, personally.
Okay. I mean, I like that, too. But I also enjoy mixing it up. I get bored if I do the same thing all the time. And when it's freaking cold outside, I don't want to go out and run. And so this bicycle has helped me. It's been one of the big reasons why I've lost almost 30 pounds in the last 2.5 years is because when I can't get out, and I canceled my gym membership over the course of the pandemic, I cycle. So I can do 13-plus miles in an hour if you're doing the hills and doing some of the programs. My brother and sister-in-law have started biking outdoors. They love to bike, and I will too as the weather gets warmer. 20 minutes of daily cycling for 8 weeks can reduce your body fat and improve your cardio fitness. So maybe you buy a bike this spring and you get outside for 20 minutes every day. Maybe you're biking to and from the store or to and from work or whatever it is, wherever you can introduce cycling. I thought that was a little bit of incentive there. Can reduce your body fat, and of course it improves your cardio fitness. Also, if you reduce your weight, you can reduce your diabetes risk. There are a lot of different types of diabetes, but some of the diabetes are linked to people who are carrying around too much weight. Get this, though. It doesn't require losing a ton of weight to reduce your diabetes risk. Losing 4.5 to 6.5 pounds. 4.5 to 6.5 pounds. That's not a lot of weight. And also boosting your activity over 2 years significantly results in a reduced diabetes risk. And this is type 2 diabetes. By, get this, 40 to 47%. So you only have to lose, let's just say you lose 5 pounds, 5.5 pounds, and you increase your physical activity, so add some exercise. Over 2 years, your risk of getting diabetes drops at least 40%. And this was a study that was done with people who have pre-diabetes, so whether it's hereditary, whether it's genetics, whether it's just your type, your body type, or how much weight you're carrying, 40 to 47% your risk can drop. I like this one. Small food changes, big payoffs. I love healthy stuff. It's really, as much as I enjoy seeing the pounds come off, for me, it's about being healthy, because weight is an arbitrary number. Our bodies change as we get older and our metabolism changes. Poor Penster is dealing with it right now. People tease me. My family gets to tease me sometimes about the fact that my dog is getting fat. She's not actually. She's the same weight, but she's never going to lose weight again because she's older. We don't walk as far and she's got a slower metabolism. Well, that happens to people too. Old dogs, old people. But I do enjoy ways, trying to find ways and also pursuing ways to be healthy. And so here are a couple of foods you can add to your diet to be healthy. If you add high nutrition options like broccoli, green vegetables, fruit and vegetables, or the Mediterranean diet is one that I hear a lot of good about. So it's fish, chicken, turkey, seafood, and then vegetables, any kind of vegetables, and fruit, which is where you would get your fiber as well as your natural sugars. So high nutrition options, swapping them out for things like comprehensive carbohydrates and white starches and sugar, of course. Don't we all love sugar? People are less apt to stick with a complete diet overhaul, and that's so true. if you do just small changes, which is what I did. I love salad. So I started adding more to my salads, bigger salads, plus tuna, plus a can of salmon or a can of chicken, an avocado. So making my salads bigger so that they weren't just a side with my menu, but actually, or my meal, but actually my entire meal. And then vegetables and shrimp in the steamer over rice, another staple. So if you change a little bit at a time, as opposed to overhauling your entire diet, the idea is that you can add nutrition and you can reduce some of the other foods. Now, I will never completely cut out sugar ever because I love cookies. I love ice cream. I know that there's a cocoa shortage in the world. And so I need to eat as much chocolate as possible just in case there comes a day during my lifetime where there is no chocolate available. I mean, can you imagine? I can't imagine. So I'm on a mission to make sure that I never forget what chocolate tastes like. But I work out, and that's my incentive to then get to eat some chocolate or have some ice cream or some cookies or whatever. And it was really difficult for me to limit my dairy. That was the hardest thing because I love milk and I love cheese, sour cream. But I made changes little by little, and I keep track of my food too, which is also really helpful because when you can see it, then you recognize what it is that you're eating. All right, I'll play one more. I'll share one more. All activity to get you moving is good. We know that to be sure. But a recent study finds that group sports pay extra dividends. Playing tennis regularly added nearly 10 years to people's lives compared with a year and a half for solitary activities at the gym. Dave. No, Dave's great at the gym. He actually is a personal trainer and likes to go to the gym. I like the gym too, and I really, to be perfectly honest, don't want to work out with other people. I don't mind running the half marathons, potentially a marathon with people. I feel like that's extra incentive, but I would never join a running group. That's just not what I would do. I miss playing basketball so much, but for the most part, I do work out alone. I walk with people. My brother and I are going to play catch on Friday when I see him on my way south on my road trip, and so I do enjoy activities with other people, but for the most part, I work out alone. I don't play a lot of sports. Actually, since I left my previous network, I played softball for years and years with people from work, and it was great. I used to golf with people from work. That's one thing I really miss in this job. It just hasn't materialized. But playing tennis or basketball or softball can add nearly 10 years to your life compared with workouts of a solitary type, which only adds a year and a half to your life. Now, that's according to the Mayo Clinic, believe it or not. I mean, we're not talking about some poll that was done on Twitter. This is a reputed medical organization, a reputed medical facility. So anyway, I thought that I would... Oh, here's one more. This is pandemic related. The estimated number of elective surgeries, like knee replacements and cancer biopsies, that were canceled in the United States during what was a 12-week kind of shutdown of a lot of hospitals other than COVID and emergencies. So going back to last spring, 12 weeks, so about 3 months last year, 4 million elective surgeries that were canceled. And obviously that has changed quality of life for a lot of people. In some extreme cases, I've even heard where such complications developed that those elective surgeries turned into emergencies, or because they weren't done, people did pass away. I'm sure that's the extreme, but 4 million elective surgeries like knee replacements or hip replacements or even biopsies on cancer over 3 months. 4 million. Wowzers. So much changed in our economy, obviously with our health and safety, the way we operate in our daily lives, and think about the way the medical industry was impacted and affected, not just the frontline workers, but the people who couldn't get to their doctors or couldn't get these elective surgeries. An elective, obviously, is subjective. What may feel like elective to your doctor may not feel like elective to you. So anyway, I just wanted to share some of those things with you. I'm a big, a big consumer of different health and safety, well, not so much safety, but different health and exercise and food suggestions. I know you can get caught up in reading too much and trying to do too much, but since I love to read, since I do stay committed to exercise, since I've changed my diet, since I think it's more about health than it is about the way that you look and how many pounds you've lost or you've gained, I thought those might be interesting ways to encourage you. So cycle, find a group to work out with, make small food changes, add nutrition, cut some of the other foods that are not as nutritious, and read. People, read. Just read. It's so good for you. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Which team has made the greatest improvement, the greatest upgrade at the quarterback position so far this offseason? And yes, you could include the Jaguars. Straight ahead, we're really excited to welcome MLB insider John Heyman. It's a rare appearance on the show, but he'll join us after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Two and one. Swing and a drive. Get up, ball. Get out of here. And grand slam for Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to center. Get up, ball. Get out of here. Gone. His second home run of the night to straightaway center. Swing and a drive. Get up, ball. Get out of here. How about a three-homer night for Vladdy?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Buck Martinez on the Blue Jays radio network. We've seen fireworks in the first month of the season. And can you believe April is nearly in the rearview mirror? Wowzers. Good time to catch up with John Heyman, baseball insider for MLB Network, as well as CBS Sports Radio and the Odyssey family of stations. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All right, John, this is great. We finally get a chance to catch up with you. It's crazy that we're a month into the season already. How would you describe the first month of what's been an atypical 21 so far?
Well, it's been surprising so far. I mean, there's some teams we expected to be really good, the Yankees included, and they have not been good. The Twins have not been good. The Braves have been mediocre. I think the Angels have been mediocre. And then we've had surprises on the other end. The A's have been very good. And, it's full of surprises. I'm sure there are always surprises through 20, 25 games, but it's even more surprising than usual this time.
So at what point, then, do we stop calling it the early season and the first month and think, oh, these are not just surprises, not just early, these are trends?
Yeah, I mean, that's easy for me as an old-time baseball writer. We just look at Memorial Day, and, you figure you've played one-third of the season at that point, and that's fairly significant. Does it mean everything? No. I mean, we saw the Nats 2 years ago. They were horrific through 60 games. Came back and won the World Series. So even the Memorial Day barometer, that doesn't always work, but that's a better barometer than, May 1st.
So when Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone, to an extent, tell us that there's no need to panic and they're just going to ride this out, how much do you believe that they really aren't panicky or nervous about what's happening with the Yankees?
Oh, they just don't want us panicking. I'm sure they're panicking. I mean, this is not what they expected at all. They have one of the worst offenses in baseball at this point. The lineup that has obviously Stanton, Judge, Sanchez, Torres, should be LeMahieu, should be an excellent offense. And to this point, nobody is performing as you'd expect, with the exception of Higashioka, the backup catcher, who's been fabulous. Other than him, everybody's been below par. I'm sure they're nervous about it, but of course, publicly, they have to say that they're not.
What can they do, John?
Well, I mean, at this point, there aren't a lot of trades this early in the off season, and they do have stars at most of these positions. I mean, they're not going to replace LeMahieu or Stanton or Judge. They're going to have to hope for the best, and it is a long season, as we said, and I do think, I believe that they will come around. I do think that they're a playoff team, and I think they will be in the playoffs. You know, a couple of signs that are not good early. The defense has not been good. The base running has not been good. And, you know, after Cole in the rotation, there are a lot of questions. I mean, I think Kluber had a nice game his last game out, and he may be on the right track. Tyone, I'm still a little bit worried about. But, you know, I think ultimately, while I'm sure they're nervous, I'm sure the fans are nervous, you know, I'm impartial. So looking at it from a distance, I still think that they're a playoff team. I still think they get in.
It's just crazy because you think they're too good not to turn this around. They're too good not to figure it out. John Heyman is an insider at MLB Network, as well as with us, Odyssey Sports, our parent company. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Well, I'll ask you the same question about the Atlanta Braves, because they've languished below 500 for most of the season. I know the NL East is completely wide open. It reminds me of the NFC East in football. But how much panic or concern is there about the Braves?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's got to be concern about the Braves. Obviously, Soroka is still out, and he's going to be out into June, we think. That's a big loss. And, you know, Anderson has not performed like we would have expected after seeing him perform so well in the playoffs. You know, the pitching is not, starting pitching has not been as good as you'd expect. Ozuna, who they brought back on a big deal, five-year deal for $65 million, as great as he was last year, he's been that bad so far this year. I mean, you think he'll come around. He does have a pedigree. He's got a, you know, obviously a track record, and you expect him to come around. You certainly expect Freeman to come around. But, I mean, Acuna cannot carry the team for the entire season. He's going to need some help. I did pick them in that division. I do expect them to win the division still. Nobody has been great, as you mentioned. The Mets have been under par as well. I think they're the second best team in that division. Now, the Mets, you know, they're obviously without Syndergaard. They're without Carrasco. They're without Lugo. So they're going to get those guys back, and they're going to do much better. So I think there's less alarm about their mediocre start than the Braves. But, you know, that whole division has not been good, which is really a shock to most of us. I thought top to bottom that was the most competitive division. It may still be, but it's not been a good division, I'll say that.
John, I always love the teams that come out of the gate fast, so to speak, like a rabbit in horse racing. And you've got the Royals, who are on top of the AL Central, the A's, and the Mariners right now, who are sitting on top of the AL West. In the National League West, yes, the Dodgers are there, but the Giants and the Diamondbacks and the Padres are all above 500. Among those teams, which are a couple that you believe have actual staying power for the course of the season?
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the Bay Area. You know, I picked the A's at the beginning of the season to win that division, so I'm going to stick with that pick. We had Billy Beane on the Big Time podcast, and he's with me. He liked my pick, and he thinks it's a good pick. You know, the A's, they outperform. You know, what can you say? Obviously, they lost Semien, they lost Hendricks, but they have a good young pitching staff, and they've got a very hungry team, a good manager. I think they stay there. The Giants, I mean, they're in a tough division. I mean, you look even at the Diamondbacks are playing pretty well right now. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball. The Padres had the best winter. Giants are under the radar. But, you know, if you look at their team, they got some pretty darn good performances offensively last year from Yastrzemski, from Belt, from some others. They have Posey back now. And, you know, even Casale, the backup catcher, has got some magic. Had five shutouts in a row while he was catching. You know, Farhan Zaidi, who's in charge there, does a good job finding undervalued players. Alex Wood's been good on the cheap for them. You know, he did the same thing with the Dodgers, getting them Muncy and getting them Chris Taylor and guys on the cheap who came in and performed. And, you know, I think we've overlooked the Giants, myself included, and I think they may hang in there. We may have three playoff teams from the NL West. It is possible. I mean, I'm going to be surprised if the Padres don't join the Dodgers in the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not easy to have three in the same division, but it is possible.
Before we shift, because I want to ask you about some baseball business topics, but why can't the Dodgers fix their bullpen, John? This is an issue that's plagued them for years.
Well, it should be better. I mean, they have some decent names out there. Trinan, you know, he's a very talented pitcher. Kelly obviously is not at full strength right now. You know, Jansen's a little bit of a mystery. I saw some games recently where he was throwing 97 at a cutter that looked fantastic. And, you know, he looked like his old self, but he really has not been his old self consistently anyway for a couple of years now. I'm with you. That bullpen should be better. It doesn't have to be great. Their rotation is easily the best in baseball top to bottom. And their lineup is outstanding as well. They've had some injury problems, obviously. Bellinger being out. You know, they've lost some of their other players. Lux has been out. You know, they've had injuries. I don't know, it's going to feel sorry for the Dodgers, the $250 million payroll, but it has affected them. I think that's fair to say.
Well, it's good for baseball that those rivalries in that division have been so spicy as well, specifically the Padres and the Dodgers to start the season. John Heyman is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Rob Manfred has talked about teams getting vaccinated and making that a priority. Where are they now in terms of that important health steps so that they can lift protocols?
Yeah, as we speak, only 10 out of the 30 teams, my understanding, have reached the 85% threshold. That is 85% of players and tier one staff members have been vaccinated. There is resistance. It's like the general population. There is a group of people, and it's not that small of a group, who are resistant to get vaccinations of any sort. And, you know, these are professional athletes, almost all of them in very good shape, very unlikely to, you know, suffer a very bad result from this. And, you know, there are a number of guys who've been resistant. And at this point, 2/3 of the teams have not reached that 85% threshold. And certainly people on the staff, you know, I mean, they may be resistant, some of them too. It's not always the players, but, you know, employees are apt to do what their employer tells them to do. So I do think it's a lot of players who aren't getting it done. Now, they're obviously employees as well, but they have guaranteed contracts. Nobody's getting in trouble or getting cut for not doing it. But, I mean, man, you're hurting your teammates, not just by not getting the vaccination, but also you're not getting the restrictions lifted. The teams that have hit the 85%, which include the Yankees, the White Sox, Cardinals, Rockies, those teams, the players can go out to eat. And, you know, it's good to relax every now and then. It's a long season. There is a lot of pressure on these guys. There's no question about that. And, you know, if the restrictions are not lifted, it makes things certainly more tense and more difficult. And, you know, from my way of thinking, it's a shame. I'd love to have seen 30 teams already vaccinated, but, you know, they're making progress, I guess, but it's very slow progress.
We'll see whether or not peer pressure and also the ability to go out to eat, as you say, something that simple that could appeal to players and others as we head through the season. So, John, taking the COVID protocols out of it, at least for now, what are some of the major issues that face baseball as you start to hear more and more rumblings about a potential work stoppage?
Well, certainly that's a big issue facing baseball. The union and MLB have not been able to make deals in the last couple of years. They haven't agreed on anything. Both sides wanted to do the universal DH, and yet we don't have the universal DH. Personally, I like the pitcher hitting. I don't mind it. You know, I've been around a while. I like the National League style, but I get it. I understood for health reasons it was probably a good idea not to have the pitchers batting. They haven't hit in the National League since 2019, but for whatever reason, they couldn't even agree on something that they both agreed on. And, you know, that's a bad sign. You know, another big issue is the rules. We're going to see they're testing out a lot of different rules in the minor leagues right now. And, you know, I think the hope is that they get more balls in play. There's more action. We're going to see what these rules bring. I personally am not in favor of moving the rubber back a foot to 61 feet plus. 61 feet, 6 inches. They're testing it out at the independent league level. You know, that's certainly a big issue right now with Major League Baseball is how are you going to get more balls in play, fewer strikeouts, more doubles, more triples, more stolen bases. And, I mean, they wouldn't mind, even mind fewer home runs. But right now we have too many of what you call the three true outcomes, walk, strikeout, and home runs. And they want to get more action in the game. But that's not going to come this year. The rules are being experimented in the minor league level, some at AAA, some at AA, some at Class A, and some at the independent level. So we're at least a year away and maybe more. But I'm anxious to see what they come up with.
There's a lot on the horizon, but at least we get a full season of baseball, 162 games, and it's great to catch up with John Heyman on Twitter at John, J-O-N-H-E-Y-M-A-N. So the insider for MLB Network, for Odyssey Sports, he's got the Big Time Baseball podcast as well. And I'm so glad it worked out, John. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Very good. It's always a pleasure, Amy. Thank you very much.
Good insight there. Now, a lot of you have asked me about potential labor strife or a work stoppage. I know it's on the horizon. It's at this point a small cloud, but it is a possibility. It's not a situation like the NFL has where we're talking labor peace come hell or high water for the next 10 years. I mean, the baseball union is dug in and is very powerful. So that's down the road. Right now, at least, we've got a full season ahead of us, and I'm excited about the early surprises and some of the possibilities. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We'll get to your quarterback responses next. Which team has made the greatest upgrade at that position, the critical position, over the course of the offseason so far?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Second and nine at the Bengal 11. Snap to Dalton. Throws it right to slant to Cooper at the goal line, and he's got it for the Cowboys touchdown. That's a perfect throw. And Andy Dalton has been sharper than concertina wire on this possession.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Andy Dalton stepped in among other quarterbacks who were forced into duty when Dak Prescott was injured in week 5 against the New York Giants. Man, that was a gruesome injury, but they were really thankful to have Andy Dalton, who had taken a one-year deal to go back home, and if not for COVID protocols and then concussion protocols, probably would have started the rest of the way. He didn't, but they had him on the field for the majority of the games post-Dak, and that gave him an opportunity to earn a new contract and a new chance with the Chicago Bears. He is one of the teams that changed quarterbacks, or he's one of the guys, I should say, who changed teams, got that backwards, in this offseason so far. And we know there will be QBs that are drafted, but among the teams that we know so far who are changing starters, who has made the greatest upgrade, the greatest improvement? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, Easy Peasy, named after the show, and we're going to get to some of your responses here coming up. I have my answer that I'm pretty confident with, though I feel like there are several teams that did make an upgrade or at least got closer to what they were looking for at that position. But let's talk to Arthur, who's in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Good evening or good morning, Amy. I've checked the records with Prescott playing. Mm-hmm. And he's back this year. Hopefully he stays healthy. I'm picking Dallas to win the Super Bowl way ahead of time.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I know what I'm talking about. I'm an expert at defense. So if the owner, if he's in his right mind, picks one or two defensive players, Dallas will run away. I shouldn't say run away. They will win what they're supposed to be to get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and will win the Super Bowl this year. You can mark it down. I'm 90% right. I picked previously. I picked New York Giants to win the Super Bowl. I took the bookies for a fortune. I love gambling, And then I picked them again. The one of the bookies said, we can't take your bet because it's too large and you're going to lose. I said, buddy, just get the money together. I'll be there first thing when you're paying off. And so I'm picking Dallas to win the Super Bowl this coming year in 2021. And their running back stays healthy. All they need is one or two. Well, they've got a half decent defense. But now, if they improve on their defense, then look out for Dallas. People, there hasn't been anybody even thinking about Dallas. I'm thinking about Dallas. And the way I've got it figured, defense, I'm deadly at defense. I mean, that's the key to winning the Super Bowl. If they upgrade, even if they don't, Dallas will win the Super Bowl. I got to say, and I hope you have a good holiday.
Even if they don't upgrade a defense, you think they'll win the Super Bowl?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Based
they got
on
the,
what?
The best quarterback is with Dallas.
The best quarterback of what? The NFC East?
No, to me, he's the best quarterback. He's a running quarterback, and they're
better not be running too much.
Well, he can run. That's the key. That opens up the offense. Okay, I played football,
I thought you said you were a defensive expert.
I never come back because the money here up in Canada is peanuts. You know what I mean? I'm not playing for $20,000.
No.
I know I'm good enough to make the NFL when I was younger.
But wait, are you on defense or offense?
Do I think Dallas will win on defense?
No. I said, are you defense or offense?
Defense. Oh. That's the key to winning. In any sport, and that's the way I think. If you're good defense in basketball, whatever it is, baseball, I don't know. I'm not a baseball. I love baseball to watch it the best, but football to me is my life.
All right.
And I research the plays, the players on defense, and if they miss tackles or even one tackle. Mm-hmm. He's zero.
Okay, but here's my thing, though, Arthur. Without even knowing what the Cowboys are going to do on defense or do with the draft, then I feel like it might be slightly premature to choose them as the 2021 Super Bowl champions. But it's your money. I would say don't bet the house on it. Maybe just bet the shed. But what do I know? It sounds like you made a lot of money on the New York Giants, so maybe the NFC East will come through for you. And so I appreciate your phone call, especially since you are both a gambling and defensive expert.
I did all my damage on defense playing tight end, so I know what defense is.
Not to mention an expert in the Dallas Cowboys. You lost me. You lost me at Super Bowl, but you lost me also on Dak Prescott being the best.
I really believe that Tony Romo will play in a Super Bowl.
That's what Jerry Jones thinks about that particular Super Bowl prediction. I'm sure there's got to be at least one other human listening who believes that the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl as well, but I'm just not quite ready to commit to that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We might have to bring that phone call back. Brad Sham,
I know what defense
by the way.
Is.
Brad Sham, not Ellen. That's our caller. I haven't heard from Ellen in a long time. I hope she's okay. Brad Sham is the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, we're not looking at the Cowboys as a team that's changing QBs, even though they had Ben DiNucci and Andy Dalton and a myriad of others who filled in after they lost Dak Prescott. But running through, we'll start with the NFC East. Washington is obviously changing QBs. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been given the nod as starter, though they do still have Kyle Allen there. And, of course, Taylor Heinicke. Remember when Taylor Heinicke was going to be the starter? That is not the case anymore. The Giants are standing pat. The Cowboys are standing pat. The Eagles are going with Jalen Hurts. They've made that really obvious. And so Washington in the NFC East is the one team that we know for sure is changing QBs. And Ryan Fitzpatrick said he picked Washington and Ron Rivera over at least three other teams. In the NFC North, of course, the Packers are not changing quarterbacks. but the Bears are, and they have shifted to Andy Dalton. The Vikings are sticking with Kirk Cousins. The Lions, of course, made that trade with the Rams, and so the Lions now have Jared Goff, where the Rams have Matthew Stafford. The Niners still have Jimmy Garoppolo. They say they're drafting for the quarterback of the future, not the present. There is a still buzz out there that the Patriots are attempting to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and that the Niners are going to go with their rookie, but I do not believe it. I won't believe it till I see it because the Niners have a ready-made Super Bowl contender. If they're healthy, which they weren't last year, why would they start a rookie quarterback? Why would they throw a rookie into the fire when that's not what's best for your team or your offense? If Garoppolo gets hurt, that's another thing. It's a different story, but he's not hurt right now, and it doesn't make any sense to me that they would just hand the reins to a rookie, especially without a full offseason. Arizona, Kyler Murray, Seattle, of course, Russell Wilson. That was not changing either. We'll see what the Atlanta Falcons do at their number 4 overall pick. They could trade it. They could draft a QB. That's a major question. But for now, Matt Ryan is the starter. Sam Darnold is now the starter of the Panthers because he can't stay away from Tom Brady, who remains the starter with the Buccaneers. The Saints, of course, they're shifting as well. Now, these two guys were already on their roster, but there's no more Drew Brees. They didn't make a move necessarily, though they did re-sign Jameis Winston. But is it Jameis or is it going to be Taysom Hill? They did not upgrade, obviously. Neither one of those guys is as good as Drew Brees. That's just your NFC. In the AFC East, we know the Jets are about to draft a new quarterback. The Dolphins are going to stick with Tua. The Patriots have brought back one Cam Newton. It's kind of cool that the teams in the AFC North are not changing quarterbacks. I think that's awesome. All right, we'll get to your answers coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.